Welcome, everyone, to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church today on another beautiful fall day. We're just thrilled to have you here today. I have a few announcements. First of all, Friday was Veterans Day. I want to recognize all the veterans who served in the military and active duty. So if you are a veteran, please stand up so we can recognize you. We thank you for your service for our country. Once again, we want to extend our prayers to the Sue Galley and her family and the loss of her son, Brian. His funeral was held last week. He passed away on Saturday, November 5th, so please keep Sue and her family in your prayers. A reminder that today, after the service, we're doing our third annual chili cook-off, which is really a stewardship a luncheon to recognize everyone. And if you haven't done so already, a reminder, please to fill out your 2017 estimate of giving and provide that to the church. We definitely need to keep the church running. You know, we need your support for that. The deacons are doing their annual Thanksgiving dinner. If you want to help with that, please sign up in the back. And also, Advent is coming up, and if you want to participate in an Advent reading, please also sign up in the back of the church. And want to welcome back Tom again today as our guest minister. I really appreciate his continuity that he's bringing to the church as we continue to look for an interim pastor. Tom is not going to be here next week. He has another commitment. In his place will be Susan Rothesberg, and we look forward to listening to Susan. But after that, Tom should be coming back for the remainder of the year unless something else happens, which it might. So with that, I will turn over to Tom to continue the service.
This is a beautiful Sunday, beautiful Lord's Day. The colors, the sunshine, the sky, and I think it's tomorrow night, a moon.
Tonight and tomorrow.
And I looked up last night and it looked big to me. We have a clear sky. It's a moon that you won't see again for I don't know how many years, but you haven't seen it since 1948,
I think.
Like that. So look at the moon, look at the beautiful sunshine today, and look at the leaves and beauty of God's good world that we have been privileged to have. That's our gift. Like to call us to worship with a portion of Psalm 98. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. We join together in singing hymn number 340, a beautiful hymn, a beautiful tune. O God of all the nations, what an appropriate hymn today as we finished an election cycle, as we celebrated Veterans Day this past week, as we now get ready for Thanksgiving. How appropriate and beautiful this hymn of ours is this morning. O God of all the nations, this is my song. We stand and sing it.
Oh,
With one voice, we confess our sins to God and to one another. Almighty God, you love us, but we have not loved you. You call, but we have not listened. We walk away from neighbors in need, wrapped in our own concerns. We condone evil, prejudice, gossip, and greed. God of grace, help us to admit our sin, turn to you, and receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. And now we pray our own personal prayer. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Amen. As believers together, we confess and affirm our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now would you greet those near you this day? Now I'd like to call our servant who will share with us prayer requests and announcements for prayer for one another.
Good morning. I'm taking some liberties this morning. The good news is nobody gave me any prayer requests, so everybody is wonderful, right? I trust that there are many private prayers, and I know that we can all hold those up to the Lord. But I would ask that we pray for all of these empty pews. I would ask that maybe sometime within the next week, you call somebody and say, "We miss you." You drop somebody a card and say, "Haven't seen you for a while." Remind people that we are still here and that we would love to have them with us during the holiday season. Tell them about the continuity we have and how great Tom is. And hopefully by Christmas, we'll have some more people in our congregation.
That is a great thing to do. I say amen to that.
Yep.
Let people know that they're loved and missed and that we would like to see them and give them a great big welcome, a hug or handshake, and have them back in worship with us and service with us. So thank you for that. There are many things to pray for today. Sue is not here today, is she, Sue Galley? I didn't think I saw her. I had a chance to share in that service this past week with a prayer and scripture. And we had really only met, I hadn't remembered meeting her, but we had met here. And "Can I have a hug?" she said, just immediately. And we had a moment together of sharing. And I tried to give her God's blessing and encouragement. And very difficult, difficult moment for all of them and their family. And so your ministry to her will be very, very important. Well, let's join together and pray for God's world and for one another. Holy God, Savior and guide and friend, we thank you that just as you notice a sparrow falling from a tree, that you know all of us through and through, that we are the apple of your eye, that you have counted every hair upon our heads. Such knowledge is so wonderful. To believe and to live in the awareness that we are never a moment away from your loving care. Thank you for all of these wonderful blessings. And thank you, God, that you forgive us, that you cleanse us, that you affirm us, and that you strengthen and enliven our hopes. We pray that you will lift us up today, that you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged, we may stand straight and dare to believe in your marvelous promises for us and for the world. Oh God, your steadfast love is so great that we can never fully thank you and praise you enough. You are our peace and joy. We are aware today that you come to us and to our world in unexpected ways and places, that you surprise us. And so open us for surprise, for what we haven't believed possible or what we have not seen. And help us to see daily and perceive always the wonder of your abiding presence and the wonder of your people and their place in our lives. Thank you, God, that you have lifted our burdens and healed our spirits, And we pray today that you will be near the hearts and lives of those who are still burdened. We pray for Sue Galley and her family and loved ones. We pray for everyone who is seeking healing, for everyone whose burden is heavier than they can bear. Lift them and bless them and heal them. Hear our prayer, O God, that we bring today, all of the prayers, the ones spoken, the ones felt, the ones whispered, all the prayers that we bring. We know that you hear every one, and that even when we can't put into words what we feel and need, you take our thoughts and make a perfect prayer with each one. And so we give you our prayers in the name of Jesus the Christ, whose prayer is our prayer today and always, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we come to our second hymn of the morning, O Christ the Healer, number 793, and we stand together as we sing. Seated. Now may we worship God as we offer our tithes and offerings.
the beauty of your love for us and for the world, and to your purposes and to the ministry of Jesus Christ among us and in the world, we joyfully bring and dedicate our gifts to you this day. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Coming to church this morning, I was behind a really slow poker, and I found myself saying ungracious things. That's the time we have to look to the Lord and say, "Control me, Lord." And he did, thank goodness. So today I'm going to read to you from Matthew 15, 21 to 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came up and urged him, saying, "Send her away. She keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. That is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, inspire the hearts of your faithful people with a single longing. Grant that your people will desire to love you and what you command and what you desire and what you promise, so that in all the changes and chances of this uncertain world, our hearts may surely be fixed where true joys are to be found, through Jesus Christ, who is alive with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. I'm a slow learner, but it took me a long time to learn that it is very difficult knowing what is right and what is wrong. Now, I grew up in a church that was pretty much fundamentalist, pretty much. And it was a church in which there was right and there was wrong. And everybody knew what was right and everybody knew what was wrong, and you just did what you were supposed to do. But I found out it's more difficult than that. Knowing what is right and what is wrong is not always clear. And sometimes I see that what is right for me may be wrong for you, and just the opposite. And then I've discovered that some of the things I thought were right, something happens and I have this, they call it the aha moment. Aha! Now I see. Something I thought was right for years and years and years, something will happen and I'll say, "That wasn't right." And I say to myself, "How did I believe that stupid thing all of these years? I believed the wrong thing. That's not right. This is right." It's not easy. Sometimes we have to pray. Sometimes we go to friends or pastors and we counsel. We think. We contemplate. And we try to find for us at this moment, what is God calling us to do? What is the right thing to do now? In our text today that we read from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is being followed and served by 12 disciples. And they think they know what's right and what's wrong. They've been taught. They've gone through the customs. They've listened to the rabbis. And they have a pretty clear sense. This is right and this is wrong. Even though, in the words, if you read the whole chapter that precedes us or that comes before the what we read this morning, you'll see that the Pharisees, they had their idea of what was right too. They believed that you had to wash yourself in certain ways and eat certain foods. And if you didn't do exactly what they said, you were wrong. And Jesus, as you know, if you read that whole chapter, says to them, no. It's not what's on the outside, washing your hands. It's not what you eat and take into yourself on the inside. That doesn't make you wrong. That doesn't defile you. And then he says, it's what comes out, not what goes in. It's what comes out of the heart, out of the mind, out of the feelings. It's how you experience life, letting it out. Out of the heart comes love or hate. Out of the heart comes service or non-service. It's what comes out, not what goes in, that makes you right. Now, with that as a background, Jesus then wants to teach the disciples a little bit more about what's right and what's wrong. And so he takes them up the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, outside the Bible Belt of Galilee, where right and wrong was so clearly known and taught. And he takes them to an area called Tyre and Sidon. It is not the Bible Belt of Galilee. It is a pagan place. There are Roman and Greek temples and teachings. There are pagans everywhere. It is not Galilee anymore. It's a strange and foreign place. And as they get close to Tyre, they can even smell it. I remember the first time I went to Liberal, Kansas, driving my car. Liberal, Kansas is a place where there's stockyards. I had my windows rolled down, and I could smell Liberal, Kansas long before I saw it. It's that way with Tyre. You could smell it. It was a manufacturing city. They made dyes. And there was rotting fish and rotting snails and manufacturing of dyes. And you could smell it before you got there. I can imagine the disciples, as they got closer to Tyre, they might have been saying to one another, wow, boy, I'm sure glad I don't live here. Are you getting a picture of where they were? Outside Galilee, in a pagan place, in a place that stank, not a very nice place to be. And in the midst of this, a woman comes shouting. Now, the disciples, when they learned right and wrong when they were children, they learned a prayer, and they would say it every morning. And the prayer would go something like this. I'm going to paraphrase it. Oh God, King of the universe, I thank you that I was not born a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. Now, sometimes I pray a prayer like that. I mean, I've several times in my life, I've been glad that I'm not a woman, but that's not a prayer I'm proud of, but that's just how I felt at the moment. And here's this woman. shouting. There's chaos going on here. I want you to get a picture of the chaos that's going on here in this story. Here they are in this stinking place, a place that's foreign and foreboding and that's ugly in every way that you can imagine. And here is this woman who comes shouting at Jesus, a woman, don't you understand? This is not a person that's acceptable in the full sense of that word. Everything is wrong. It's chaotic. And the woman is shouting, Jesus, Lord, Son of David. How does she know that? We have no idea. She gives the titles. How does she know this? Jesus is trying to get the disciples to say this. Lord, Son of David. And they can't seem to understand what that means and who he is. But this woman has gone all beyond them. Even though she's a woman, she's gone beyond them. She understands who he is, and she calls him by title, and she gets it exactly right. Lord, Son of David. And so she's shouting, and the disciples have had it. They can't take any more. The smell, the woman, the foreboding place, the ugliness of it all. They've had it up to here, and they say to Jesus, not just one of them, but several of them, evidently, send her away. Now, I want you to get the picture here because it's a picture of chaos. It's a picture of chaos. She's shouting, Lord, Son of David, have mercy. And three or four of them at the same time are saying, send her away. Lord, Son of David, send her away. Lord, Son of David, send her away. And it's all shouting and it's confusion and it's chaos. Absolutely. And the text says that Jesus just stood there. And didn't say a word. And then finally he speaks. I suppose the chaos is now under control. And he says, he begins a conversation with the woman, but it's a conversation where she seems to understand what he's saying. And the disciples have no clue what's going on. And the conversation goes like this. I was sent, not to you, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And the disciples are saying to themselves or to one another, amen to that. He wasn't sent to people like this. He was sent to us. He's ours. He's mine. Amen to that. And so, who are you sent to? We have to draw a line. I mean, the disciples felt like Jesus was finally drawing a line. I'm going to go this far, but I'm not going to step over the line because God has not sent me to you. Only to the lost sheep of Israel. And the disciples, amen. That's the line. Where's your line? At what point do you say, I'm not going to step over this. I've gone as far as I can go. Well, our line usually, family, if family needs us, we're there. Relatives, well, some relatives. Neighbors, well, yeah, a couple exceptions. People of my community, people of my nation, people of my race. At what point do you draw a line and say, I am not available? I've gone as far as I can go. And to a certain extent, we have to have those lines, to a certain extent. I mean, there are too many needs, aren't there? They're everywhere around us. We drive downtown, there's a veteran or some homeless man. He's holding a sign. It says, I'm hungry, I'm unemployed, please help me. And we wish maybe we would or could, but we know we can't help everybody, and who knows, maybe they're on drugs. Or we turn on the television and, you know, there's another hurricane in the Caribbean and somebody's appealing for help. Or there's another earthquake in Europe, or there's another something somewhere. There's another need. People in Africa, children who are disformed, birth defects. Won't you send us a check so we can do an operation and make the face normal again? I can hear my wife's voice now. I'm in the other room, and she's saying, yes, we've already given this year, and we don't plan to make another gift until next year. Thank you for calling. She hangs up the phone. We all do that. We can't answer every need, every person, every appeal. At some point, we've got to protect ourselves and say, I've gone as far as I can go. And so Jesus says to the woman, I can't go to you. I can't help you. I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the disciples said, yes, that's as far as we can go. This woman seems to understand that there's conversation going on here at different levels. And Jesus says to her, it is not fair to throw the children's food to the dogs. And again, the disciples understand that in their way, we are the children of Israel. And it's not right that the bread should go to the dogs, and this woman is, in their eyes, no better than a dog. Well, if you let me paraphrase that and use a language that we don't usually use in church, but you'll forgive me. In England, they refer to female dogs this way. And in America, we usually don't. We usually use it for people. And so here's what the disciples heard. And it was music to their ears. They wanted to hear this because they had been taught right from wrong. Okay? They knew what was right and they knew what was wrong. And what they heard Jesus say was, get away from me, you bitch. That's how, if we translated it literally, he was saying, you dog, I am not going to help you. Get away. And they were saying in their hearts, yeah, send the bitch away. We're not responsible for her. She's on the other side of the line. But now I've been saying through this sermon that there's two conversations going on here. One conversation is the one the disciples are hearing. And the other conversation is the one the woman is hearing. And somehow she understands both conversations at the same time. And so at his feet, kneeling, having said, have mercy on me, my daughter is possessed of a demon. Please help me. She says now to Jesus, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. And Jesus says something to her. You should listen very carefully to what he says. He says to her what he wanted to be able to say to the disciples, but he hasn't said it. In fact, in the previous chapter, Peter tries to walk on water and he fails, and Jesus says to him, "You of little faith." But now to the Canaanite mother, he says what he would like to be able to say to the disciples. And he says it to a woman. He says it to a woman who lives in a stinking pagan place. He says it to the most unlikely person. I've tried to paint this picture. Did you get it? This is the most unlikely person who could ever hear this. There's nobody else in the world who could beat her out. I mean, she is the number one person not to hear this, right? He says to her, "Great is your faith." And if I had been one of the disciples, I would have been completely speechless. This is not what I was taught. If I had been one of the disciples, I would have the beginning of an aha moment. If the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the goodness of Jesus falls upon her, and if Jesus says to her, "Great is your faith," where does it stop? And so they had to make a decision, as we have to make a decision. Because if we're going to follow Jesus, he's going to lead us into a new country that we've never been before. And we're not in control. And what we're not in control is, who am I going to be for other people? And the other thing we're not in control of is, what will I allow other people to give to me? Jesus doesn't seem to stop at lines. He seems to be going everywhere. And I can't think of anything in the world more interesting and more wonderful and exciting than to follow him and to cross all of the lines that we have drawn for the world. Amen. The word having been proclaimed among us and for us, let us join together in our hymn of response, number 747. Evidently, I don't know this hymn, but it was written by a Cuban Pentecostal pastor. And I think the words are in Spanish and in English.
We're only singing in English.
Are we going to sing English? Feel free to sing in either language. Let us stand as we sing. Thank you. where we are this morning. It's a beautiful tune. Let's sing it one more time. Hear Jesus call us across a line that separates us. Maybe that line was drawn in fear or prejudice or misunderstanding, or something happened and now we feel that we're not free. But Jesus calls us into freedom and to walk and follow Him wherever He leads. And so may you find that strength and freedom this day. And all of the surprises that come from following Christ into His will and future, it will be beautiful and lovely and full of grace and love. And now may that grace that we see in our Lord Jesus Christ, and may that love which we know in our hearts from God Almighty, and may the Holy Spirit that gives us strength and power and guidance and blessing be with us now and forever and ever. Amen. Amen.